Casting and streaming worldwide from the Golf Club Studios, it's the Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker.
And a great good morning to you. We've got so much going on coming up in Hawaii, the Sony Open in Hawaii, and the Tournament of Champions begins the Aloha Swing with the Mitsubishi Electric, of course, following it up over on the Big Island. We start off on Maui, Hyundai Tournament of Champions. Volunteer opportunities are available for the 2017 Tournament of Champions. It's just 2 months away, and the tournament's got volunteers they need for the winner's only event, and it's on the plantation course. It's absolutely beautiful, a beautiful course to walk. If you just come out to watch some of the golf and just enjoy a morning stroll, an afternoon walk, the golf course provides the perfect opportunity. And you've got Jordan Spieth, Dustin Johnson. Of course, Jordan Spieth won last year at the Tournament of Champions. Dustin Johnson, Patrick Reed, Jason Day, Bubba Watson, they're all qualified for the event. Of course, we haven't heard yet who is going to be on the show, so to speak, showing up for the Tournament of Champions. Our show guests this morning include Gary Williams, host of Golf Channel's Morning Drive, Jason Diger, director of instruction over at Golf Tech. We're going to pick up where we left off. You may not know that I had back surgery almost 2 years ago, and consequently, I decided, coming back to the game, that I wanted to restructure myself, adjust for body changes, body's abilities, and we started from the baseline. Going back to the basics, if your game's off, that's the way to do it. And Jason Diger and I are going to be talking about some of the basics you may need to get back to. Kellen Anderson, Hawaii Youth Golf Association, with Hugh Smith, the First Tee Director of Regional Affairs, the Public Pacific Region, rather, he'll be on. And Bob Foreman, Director of Fitness and Wellness, the Congressional Country Club, checking in as well. First, we need to get in touch with Gary Williams, and we'll be back right after we thank the people who make this show possible.
The Golf Club, brought to you by Hoipu Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, hosted PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course for golfers of all abilities. The Hoipu Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem. And Futura Stone. Futura Stone's master craftsmen can turn your building, company, or home into artwork. Futura Stone, only the best. By Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, Vision 54 Coach, and Aim Point Certified Golf Channel Lead Coach. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. And by Raynor Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom. Provide lasting security and safety for your business. Raynor Doors. And Creative Plumbing. Whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or townhouse, call Creative Plumbing, because it has to be done right. Creative Plumbing.
All right, our volunteer opportunities that are available include on-course marshals, ShotLink, laser operations, ShotLink, walking scorer, admissions and information, on-road transportation, and on-course transportation. So if you're interested, you can get in touch with Adriana Fisher, and her number is 808-665-9160. That's 808-665-9160. This is the Plantation Course. Kapalua, January 4th through the 8th, and all four competitive rounds will be broadcast on Golf Channel. We'll be back with Gary Williams. We need to get in touch with Gary. We also have Sony Open in Hawaii volunteers. Sony Open in Hawaii comes up after the event at Kapalua, and volunteers needed for the 2017 Sony Open in Hawaii. Each year, Sony Open tournament proceeds benefit all of the people who come together and enable the Friends of Hawaii Charities, contributing to the Friends of Hawaii Charities, I should say. So all the proceeds from the Sony Open in Hawaii, plus the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation, they put their money together. They double the money that we raise. So we raise money for the Sony Open Hawaii, all of the money raised is then doubled by the Harry and Jeanette Weinberg Foundation. Volunteers are needed for the Sony Open in Hawaii, as well as, and that's on Oahu at the Waialae Country Club. So we're trying to reach Gary Williams at on the mainland, Florida. Golf Channel's Morning Drive co-host. It's always fun watching Morning Drive because they have so many different things, including fitness and all the stuff that you really need to know about. They have so much fun. The golf curse was one of the things that they talked about. You know, broadcasters always ask themselves, okay, if I talk about this fellow and make it sound like, you know, oh, he's guaranteed or he's got this shot in the bag, and you hear the announcer say, because the fellow or the woman goes ahead and misses, you know, after being the announcer is certain it's going to happen. And he says, there is the announcer curse. And that's that. The question is, how do you get rid of him? That was one of the Halloween events that was a whole lot of fun. So I just really enjoy listening to them while I'm getting ready for work in the morning. And Gary Williams will be dialing in a minute. He's a teaching professional, former teaching professional. So he knows the game of golf over at Ridgewood Country Club. And he was an executive at a Fortune 500 company, a part-time radio show host. And then he went full-time, of course, on Morning Drive radio sports programs. And he did play-by-play for ESPN and the Carolina Panthers television network. And, of course, now, as I said, he's the host of Golf Channel's Morning Drive. The 2017 Tournament of Champions kicks off Thursday, January 4th, to January 8th, all four rounds on Golf Channel. And Tiger Woods returning to the Hero. One of the things we just have to talk about with Gary Williams, who is joining us now inside. He's walking into the clubhouse right now, sitting down with me right across. Not really. He's way over on the mainland. Welcome to the show, Gary.
I wish I was sitting down across from you. How are you?
I'm fine. I was just talking about all the stuff that you folks do on Morning Drive, including I got such a kick out of, you know, you always figure out things that have to do with topics. Halloween. So you did golf curses and dealing with scary shots. Who does that? Who figures that stuff out?
Yeah, it's a good question. It's a collaborative effort. I mean, we have... You know, we have a very creative group of young producers. They're all, you know, under the age of 30. They're very ambitious. They put their thinking caps on. And, you know, this time of the year, you got to be creative because even though there's a lot of golf going on, there's so much else going on in the world of sports. So we all kind of put our heads together. And when the show ends, we sit down, we review what we did that day, and we start thinking about the next day. And we try to find connections to things that are going on, whether it be culturally or with respect to other sports, like we kind of did with Halloween and the World Series this week. So it's a bunch of people who really are pretty creative, and we range in age from, you know, early 20s to someone like myself who's now 50.
No.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was just, so many things that you just said sparked conversations that I need to have with you, but I want to start off. We're talking about the Sony Open in Hawaii. It's coming up in January, kicking off the Aloha Swing, which used to be much grander. We've got the Tournament of Champions at Kapalua and then the Mitsubishi Electric. But there's been rumor, and some people seem very convinced that it's going to happen because of the competition with other sports, that football gets just in the way of golf. People just would prefer to watch football games over the weekend or baseball. I want to stay in the World Series. You know, that was the best seventh. Every baseball game should be the seventh game of the World Series. That was phenomenal. The whole series was wonderful. But my point about... Is there a move afoot to end the season Labor Day weekend?
I've heard rumors about that. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think when you're a tour like the PGA Tour in particular, and you have all of these various corporations willing to put up all this sponsorship money, there's no reason. There's no reason to end the season Labor Day weekend now. You know, I do know this, that when the FedEx Cup playoffs were created, the reality is it was created for one person or two, if you want to include Phil Mickelson. It was a chance for fans of golf and sports fans to be able to see Tiger Woods pass the PGA Championship, because the reality was is that he wasn't going to play much after Labor Day. And so that's what we were given. And it's become a huge thing with respect to the amount of bonus money available. I don't see it happening. I really don't. I can see them evaluating the wraparound part of things, because you got to pine for sports. We can't have basically a 10-day off season. And basically what they have is the biggest stretch of non-golf weeks is after they've played six events in the new season, which I think is confusing to the casual fan. And it kind of, you know, what the results that happen early on in the season almost get lost when you reset the pins, you know, in Hawaii at the beginning of January. So I can see them evaluating that, but I do not see the PGA Tour season ending right around Labor Day. No way.
So you think that when we used to have the silly season, when the shootout would happen or whatever it was that was coming up, the father-son, all the things that, or father-daughter, I like to think, all those things, it was kind of, on the one hand, it was all silly, but it was fun because different formats came into play. Team things started happening. There was something kind of joyous about it, celebratory about it. Now we have this endless stroke play tournament back to back to back to back. And I understand that this is where the young guys, the web.com guys, the fellows who are under, they're not 124 and above, they're struggling to keep their cards, to get their positions. A win now guarantees that they can, I've heard it said, set their table. You know, they can schedule themselves. They've got a chance to actually get in and not have to hope for sponsor exemptions at some point in the whole season. So I understand what they're doing, but it just seems too much. Like you say, it just seems like there should be some period where we can like look forward to it starting up again.
I agree. And I think it's really, for you bring up the guys on the web.com tour, I think it's unfair to them. And I'll say it for this reason. These guys don't travel week to week with the trappings of what you get on the PGA Tour with respect to courtesy cars and daycare and, free dry cleaning and private jets. And they grind all summer long to put themselves in a position to hopefully graduate to the best tour in the world. And they accomplish that, and their reward is that they get to celebrate for, 36 hours? Because they have to make sure that they get to the fries.com, because they need that start, because they need to get as many starts as they can, because they know that they may be dwindling by next March or April as you get into the major championship season and World Golf Championships. And, first of all, it's not easy. You work that hard, you accomplish that, take some time to be able to celebrate, share the time with your family, and then also be able to evaluate what it is that you want to change. If you have an endorsement deal that may be offered to you because you're now a tour player or an equipment deal, you don't have time to test that equipment. You have to go right back out, continue the grind after you're probably exhausted from traveling all over the place, including outside of the United States, to start the year. I just think it's a poor way for those guys to be indoctrinated to what should be a crowning achievement to get on the PGA Tour, and they're all fried by the time they get there.
Yeah, they've just gone through the web.com championship that was back-to-back-to-back this year. One event, the real championship, had to be canceled because of weather. Then they've got, as you said, 10 days, and then they have to hit the road running. And I hear all the people are going, yeah, but they make so much money. At that level, they don't.
No, they don't.
And they're just struggling to pay the airfare, the lodging, the car, transportation, food, all of the things. It's a grind. And, they're hoping to make a bunch of money. They're hoping to be a Tiger Woods, a Jordan Spieth, all the guys that can travel in their own or share a charter jet. It's quite the event. Speaking of Tiger, Tiger Woods returning at the Hero World Challenge, played in the Bahamas. Do you know that you can bet on whether Tiger Woods will return, whether he'll withdraw before the tournament starts? Will he win? Will he win for a major? You can bet on anything.
You can bet on anything related to him, and yes, that curiosity is not going to, I don't think that curiosity is going to wane. There are some people that honestly believe that he's never going to play again, and that he, you know, obviously this is his event. It's 18 players. He's the one who will get this special invitation, and it's four rounds. It's a no-cut event. It's the second home for him. But Robert Dameron, who won on the PGA Tour, who we had in on Morning Drive this past week, has a pretty strong feeling that he may never play again. And he's just basing that on his own intuition. I don't believe that myself. But again, I don't think there are a lot of people who really, really know what's going on with respect to him. I saw him back in April, and I saw him put on a 45-minute clinic for a bunch of junior golfers at a wonderful event in South Carolina. I thought he hit the ball exceptionally well, but we never saw him play competitive round the entire year, so it is a giant mystery as to what's going to happen going forward.
You can only do this, I'm coming back so often, and then it's like old. This is it. If you don't come back maybe one more time, then who's...
I know. And people are saying that. People are actually saying that, this is kind of like the boy who cried wolf or Chicken Little. There's only so many times that you can keep saying, I'm coming back, or it's soon, or I'm around the corner, to where people, although I still believe this, if he keeps saying it, it's not as if we're not going to pay attention to it. And believe me, on our network, and I hear it a lot, and I understand it, and I empathize with the fans who think that they have Tiger fatigue because we talk about him at such great lengths, and we do. But he's a very different type of person when it comes to the effect that he has had on this sport, and I think the older we get, the better he used to be, and sometimes I think we lose sight of that.
The older we get, the better he used to be. No, I think he was as good as we remember, Gary.
I like to believe that, but sometimes I wonder if people realize, whether it be the cut streak or the amount of times that he finished in the top 10 over the course of a 10-year period, and having 10 5-win seasons, we were lauding, as well we should have, what Jason Day and Jordan Spieth did last year, having, multiple players win, four times plus. It was the first time that had happened in quite some time, in over 25 years. But he has 10 5-win seasons. 10 of them.
I know. But see, we got really, really spoiled. I mean,
yes.
Tiger Woods was someone we may never see again, because the competition, everybody says, well, he didn't play against the same kind of competition that's out there now. I don't know. These guys are good, and there's a lot of competition. But no one is able to replicate on the level that Tiger has replicated in the past. It's just, we always want to see it. We want to see somebody dominate. Then if somebody's dominated, we want somebody to see somebody challenge. But the way Tiger did it is, we just always felt like he's going to make that shot. He's going to pull it off. There was something that you could count on in it. And that's something you don't get in golf. You don't get something that you can count on in golf.
No.
And Tiger gave us that. That was huge for your sense of confidence in the game. And I think that's a real driving force of the Tiger Woods mystique. There was a confidence about him, and you had confidence in his game, and that gave you confidence in golf. I just love that part.
I think that is a really important point. I think that it's very dangerous in golf to be presumptuous, whether it be somebody who's got a 36-hole lead or somebody who's got a 54-hole lead. You could be presumptuous with him, and I've spoken to enough players who played and competed against him when they were at their very best, and they knew that if he led after 36 holes, the tournament was, in all likelihood, it was over. And the one thing I would love to see, I'd love to see it more than once, but at least just one time, all these Tiger babies, all these young guys that are in their early to mid-20s who were inspired by Tiger Woods when they were 6 and 7 years old, who are now the lifeblood of the PGA Tour, they've never seen not only him at his very best, but what the scene is like when he's at his very best. I want them to experience that once. They all say they want him back, and I believe that they absolutely do. I want them to see and feel what the likes of the David Toms and the Phil Mickelsons and the Chris DeMarcos all had to feel on a weekly basis, because it was suffocating. It was overwhelming, and he was a deity that did things that people just, they were in awe of. And I would love to see Ricky Fowler and Jordan Spieth and Jason Day, who has a real kinship with Tiger, experience that at least one time.
Yeah, yeah, awesome. It'd be overwhelming. The crowd, overwhelming. You know, the power of the people around him who just want to touch. You know, that's almost scary. It's, And now people say, well, he's 40. He's 40. He don't got a chance in his body. Well, yeah, his body. But 40 means nothing. We've got Phil Mickelson doing amazing things at the Open. That was amazing against Henrik Stenson. That Open finale goes up against the World Series Game 7. It was riveting. You just didn't want to watch that shot. And then he answers that shot, and it's like, my gosh, it's this generation's duel in the sun. They got to feel what everybody talked about in the past.
Now, yeah, I thought it was the tournament of the year, and I thought that, you know, the Olympic experience I thought wound up being outstanding. But it's hard to get past somebody who, by the way, is also 40. Henrik Stenson turned 40 in April and won his first major championship. So you're telling me, and this is somebody who's also had some injury issues, that Tiger Woods, if he can't get healthy, can't possibly come back and win. Now, I don't know psychologically if he's dealing with things that are deep-seated, but I agree with you that the fact that Phil Mickelson lit out for 62 in the opening round, the fact that he pushed Henrik Stenson over the line, and Stenson shot 63 in the final round of a major championship to win his first, that can't be eclipsed. And you're right about Phil doing the things that he's doing in his late 40s. And let's not forget, Davis Love III won on the PGA Tour at 51 last year. Last year, this guy is 40, and I know that he is beat up. Physically, he's had a lot of things repaired to his body, and I don't know the state of his mind. But if anybody can possibly do it, it's him.
Yeah, and so I'm thinking about Shriners. The Shriners event this week, all of a sudden the title went out completely on me. The Shriners Hospitals for Children Open. Rod Pampling, a 40-something, right?
Yes.
Here he is. And Brooks Koepka, you know, one of those 20-something babies that was inspired by Tiger Woods, going up against one another. This is fun, and it's not an easy course. And I was watching the highlights on Golf Central on Golf Channel, and I'm speaking with Gary Williams, host of Morning Drive on Golf Channel. So I'm watching off a tree, out of the gravel. This guy dug that round out. I mean, he had some beautiful shots. He had some very different. I didn't know the Shriners course was that difficult.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting that golf course and that tournament has had some different incarnations. You know, you remember it used to be a 5-round event. It used to be, during a different time of the season. Of course, it was where Tiger won for the first time in 1996. And oh, by the way, in a playoff against Davis Love III. That, you know, the golf course, it manages to yield low scores, but it seems like it's harder than these guys are making it appear. I mean, I know that, you know, Smiley Coffin shot 61 last year to win his first event, and he was obviously just a graduate off the web.com, which is impressive, and it was kind of like Emiliano Grillo doing the same thing. But the Pampling story is interesting, and you combine the age of Brooks Koepka and the young man Aaron Wise, who won the NCAAs for the University of Oregon. They're younger than Rod Pampling is with their combined age, and they're both challenging him. And that's another example of, you know, kind of where the game is right now, Danielle, is the fact that here's a kid who spent the summer playing on PGA Tour Canada, and he shows up at this event in Las Vegas, and I know it's only 36 holes, but they're coming from everywhere, and they're so better prepared, and they're so mature, and they're so ready, and they seem so ready to handle the pressure of being in contention. It's remarkable. Year after year, we look at these college kids and the kids who are coming from other parts of the world, and they never stop coming. And I that's the one thing I would say about the competition about now as opposed to the Nicklaus era. Maybe the best that he had to butt heads with, like Trevino and Watson and Casper and Palmer, that their career resumes will be better than some of these players, but there's no way that the global depth existed then the way that it does now. It wasn't even close. The top 10 in the world, you could say, and it's hard to compare eras because of the agronomics and the technology, but as far as, where these kids are and how many of them there are, it's so much deeper now.
And all you have to do is go to the LPGA, and look at their leaderboards and look at the flags next to their leaderboard.
Yes.
And, you go, oh, my. And so that the Toto Japan Classic, Shan Shan Feng, Arya Jatanagar, and Suzanne Pedersen are at the very top. Then we have, I think, five gals from South Korea. Then, and Kari Webb is in there, Purnam Patlam. And then our first U.S. player on this leaderboard is Kari Webb. Is Christy Kerr. Christy,
right.
And I'm wondering, Lydia Ko must be very tired. She's shot 74 or 71 player of the year, very much for grabs there with Arya coming on so strong. So my question, I have two of them, and I'm running out of time. And I'm sorry I got such a clumsy start with you this morning. Do you think that... Arya or Lydia? Who do you think was going to win Player of the Year?
I can't believe that we're having what is a legitimate discussion. Right now, I would lean Jatanagar, and I get back to what you just said about fatigue. Now, she's dealt with some injuries as well. It's remarkable that she had to withdraw from the Olympics when she actually started out exceptionally well and wound up winning in her next start. I don't like the fact that the Player of the Year is determined on a point system. I like the fact that, you allow a voting body to exercise their minds and look at everything. I don't like how things are decided for you. I would lean Arya just slightly. However, I will say this about Lydia. When it comes to that final event of the year, she's been better than anybody, and she handles these circumstances exceptionally well. Every time that we doubt her, and I can't believe that anybody would ever doubt her. She's not even 20 yet. I would lean Jatanagar. I can't believe we're having this discussion.
I can't
either. It shows you what a year she's had.
Yeah, and Jatanagar is amazing, but then she falls apart completely in some of the crux moments, and Lydia, when you think she's down and out and she's not going to be coming back, first, second round, bam, boom, all of a sudden she's like, where did she come from? She's five, and then in the final round she wins, and you're okay. And I guess my other question, which is very difficult to ask, is what's up with our U.S. contingent?
I think it's a question that is really, really hard to answer. I'm not dodging the question. We have this conversation quite a bit off the air, and I really think that the Americans are going to be challenged really, really significantly over the next 10 years to remain highly competitive against these other women from other parts of the world. And the answer that I get from most people who are inside the culture of the LPGA is that they're getting outworked. Now, I think that there are more things to it. I think that these various nations have these golf federations that pour tremendous amount of resources into women's golf, particularly in South Korea. And I think that that is another challenge. And I think that that's something that our country has to examine. There is a lot of money in the game of golf in the United States, and there are a lot of people that have a lot of influence. And I do believe that we need to figure out a way to establish some type of governing body, and I'm talking about from a developmental standpoint in the United States, to have what essentially would be USA Golf for boys and for girls. Because and it's almost like an Olympic movement inside the game of golf. There are a lot of people who run the finest clubs in the United States of America who have tremendous influence that can create a tremendous amount of revenue to I think, foster programs to improve the development. Because what's happening is young women from other parts of the world are realizing that college golf is a good jumping off point for them in this country. They are taking scholarships away from boys and girls who were born and raised in the United States. And if you look at the landscape of women's golf at the college level, there are a lot of young foreign girls. And that's great. I don't have anything against it. But if we're getting outworked, something has to change, because we can't go an entire year and have less than three women from the United States win on the LPGA over the course of a calendar year. That's unacceptable.
Global golf was something we were trying to develop 15, 20 years ago. I think success is achieved in the globalization. And now we've got to get back to the business of the game, getting it healthy on the recreational side. And that's the big challenge. But I could talk with you, Gary, for hours. And I'm just going to have to close. The last time we talked was a year ago. You've got such an amazing schedule. I wish we could talk more often, but I'll take it as I can. Got to ask you finally, what is your favorite part about getting up at, let's say, 2 o'clock in the morning to prep, get into makeup, and be on the set by 7 a.m. for morning drive?
Because I get to work with, you know, and this is not a cliche, I get to work with an eclectic group of people. We have all different backgrounds, but we have a common bond. We love the game of golf, and we get to talk about it every day. And that's never something that I take for granted. Believe me, when the alarm goes off, there are days that I do temporarily take it for granted. But by the time I get to work and we start kicking around ideas and talking about tournaments and looking at shots and examining issues in the game with the likes of Cara and Damon and Charlie and Matt and Paige, and I can, you know, and I just go on down the line, and Chris,
yes,
everybody. I mean,
we are
brought together by one thing. We love golf, and we love it because we like playing it, but more importantly, what it's given us, which is relationships and fellowship that will last a lifetime.
Gary Williams, host of Morning Drive on Golf Channel, DVR it. You'll really enjoy it. Thanks so much for being on the show with me.
Danielle, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure.
We'll talk again next year.
You bet.
Aloha.
Bye-bye.
We're going to come back and talk with Jason Dygert. He is helping me rebuild my game after back surgery. We'll be back right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing.
Your experts on call.
Poipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore has reopened to rave reviews. Come play our newly renovated greens. Bring the family. Invite some friends.
When you stand on that tee box and see that view, you'll know why Poipu Bay makes any day special. Come join the Aloha. Visit our pro shop and take home a memory at Poipu Bay, where golf is played. Call 808-742-8255. 8711. Your tea time is waiting.
Wow, what a beautiful day. Let's go back in the clubhouse and listen to Danielle Tucker.
And for all the talk about Tiger Woods, it's worth thinking about that just in 2013, he won five events, or was it three events, and he was Player of the Year, you know? So, who knows? No one thought he would do that either. Jason Dygert, PGA Golf Tech Hawaii. He's the Center Manager and Director of Instruction at Golf Tech. It's just down the road, right near Alawana Shopping Center. Go do some shopping and then, or go to Golf Tech, be inspired, and then go do some shopping. A little bit of background for you. I'm recovering my game after back surgery. It took me out of the game for longer than Tiger Woods. You know, he got back after a couple of months. For me, it was much longer. I decided, though, that this would be a good time to figure out how to play golf easier on my back. Golf is never easy. To get back to the basics. The basics of golf, the stance, the grip, everything about making the basics better, solid. And hopefully my game will improve, depending, of course, on how much time I put into practicing. Jason Dygert, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Danielle. Thank you for having me. Good to be back.
Good to have you back. So we started with your swing analysis. Very cool. Tell us a little bit about how that works.
Well, our swing evaluation session is about a 60-minute session that all of our students will go through. And in that session, we're going to introduce you to the technology that we use down at Golf Tech, which is digital video feedback so the player can see what's going on in their golf swing. We also use motion measurement system, which are our motion sensors on your hips and shoulders that measure what you're doing in your golf swing. How well is a player using their body? How efficient are they being with their big muscles, big body movement in the golf swing? And that way we can help a player understand cause and effect, help them understand certain things about their swing that may be frustrating them, and probably most importantly, what to practice and how to practice so that they can improve on those parts of their game that they're struggling with.
So Jason found some good things about my swing. He found some interesting things about my swing, things that, you know, I was surprised about in the good department. Some, of course, bad things about my swing. Not bad, but insufficient. He also took a very strong stand when he saw my grip. He saw my grip and he said, you know, it wasn't a terrible grip. It was just, it needed work. It needed thumb creases. When I say that, people say, what are you talking about? Well, you use the muscles between the thumb and the index finger. Push that thumb up against that index finger and look at those, push it against the index finger. And now you've got a good strong grip. Lock that grip in place. And I'm like, wow, I haven't used that muscle before. So as I'm, you know, then I learned about the hinge, okay? The backswing hinge, keeping the grip in the, up against the palm pad of my hand, you know, into the pad so it doesn't hang over. Keep it in the pad. Get really solid there. And then the hinge, and I'd forgotten about the hinge. And he's up, hinge, you know, watch that hinge, watch that. Okay, so, Then, as we're talking, I said, you know, my fingers don't have enough room around this grip. Amazing. Do you have that problem? Do you have that problem where your hands are just bigger than what's available for it to hold on to? I had no idea you could measure these things. This is fantastic. Tell us about, people may have this problem.
Yes. Well, grip size matters. And, you know, we have a couple just measurements we take of the hand size and finger length, and therefore it gives us a good guideline on the size of the grip that will be best suited for that player. But ultimately, if you've got bigger hands or smaller hands and you're using a grip that's not sized for you, you're not able to get the advantages out of a good grip that you can. And a lot of times we'll see that if a grip is too small for someone, they
have a hard time getting their hands on the club comfortably. They tend to grip the club too tightly, trying to kind of hold on and minimize the gaps that are in there because the grip is too small. And ultimately, it leads to too much tension, and they're not able to hinge their wrist and rotate the forearms as effectively as they can.
Yeah, and that tension from the hands goes into your shoulders, goes into your back. All of that stuff isn't good for you. There's no, and what do you always, don't grip that thing. You want to hold it like you'd hold a bird. Well, if I held the grip the way it's gripped now, it would fly away. I wouldn't be able to play. So that was one. So we're talking all about this stuff that you may be saying to yourself, I know all that. But, you know, I've got a man-sized grip on my club. I have big hands. But it's still not big enough. It needs to be a little bit bigger. All right. So you just take the grip off, and you can still use the same grips that you like. All they have to do is, what do they do on the inside?
Well, typically they can take those grips off and just put some tape underneath
it
before they reinstall it. So it just makes it, a 64th or a 32nd of an inch larger in the diameter of the grip. And you really notice it immediately. Once you have a grip too small versus a grip that's a good size for your hand, it feels more comfortable. We hear it a lot down at Golf Tech. It's like, oh, man, this grip just feels good. I don't have to squeeze it so tight. So a lot of times when we're custom fitting, we are authorized fitters down at Golf Tech for Callaway, TaylorMade, and Mizuno. So when we're going through trying to find the right shafts and the right heads and the right set combination, the type and size of the grip is something that we will do from the get-go so that we have the clubs made for our customer with that right size grip from the get-go. But if you've got a set of clubs, then yes, they can adjust that for you. Once you know what size you need, take them down to Roger Dunn, and they'll set you up just perfectly.
Yeah, exactly. You can get them re-gripped for you, especially when you go know the measurements, you know, and usually a club fitting place will take the measurements off your hand. And if they don't, make them. Tell them to. Because you may be a lady, that doesn't mean you are going to necessarily use a lady's grip. And you may be a petite woman, so maybe you should even be using a junior grip. I don't know. I'm just guessing, you know. But it doesn't matter. As we've always talked about on this show, club fitting is absolutely tantamount. And most people think about it as length of shaft or the type of the shaft, you know, how much flex or in the shaft or all of those different things that come into play. But it's more than that. And in my case, you know, I think it'll make such a big difference for me when I get my clubs re-gripped so that I have a larger man's grip. That sounds terrible. I feel so feminine. I've always wanted to be petite, and I'm just not. So the other thing that came along, so we were talking about all this, and Jason's really cool. He just watches, and we do some swings, and then we look at the playback, and I've got my harness on and my tail that sends all this information, and I'm looking, and I'm really quite impressed. You know, I'm like, I'm not as intimidated, and I'm thinking, wow, oh, that was bad. That I see that position. I shouldn't do that. So that was cool. And then I said something that's always been a problem for me. You know, Jason, I never know really where to put my ball. You know, where should it really be in my stance? Okay, so my feet are this far apart. Where should the ball go optimally? And he was like, oh, I didn't tell you that. And well, we've been talking about all these other things, and we're only like two into the session. And it was perfect. Tell me about ball position for irons.
Yeah, it's definitely a key thing, you know, with the fundamentals of your setup. And yes, we've looked at grip and making sure that you're holding the club correctly so that you can hinge your wrist correctly. When you're playing ball position, you definitely want to be consistent with the ball position. It's one of those variables that we see people changing a lot that makes it ultimately harder to get the club back to the ball consistently. So what we like to see is first off, when people are practicing, put a couple of clubs down or put a couple of alignment sticks so that you can see a parallel line in front of your feet and then a perpendicular line that goes between your feet so you can see the ball position relative to that. And ultimately, if someone hasn't really been paying attention to it, as soon as you get that ball position, in the proper space, they're like, oh, man, I thought I was playing my ball there. And when you see it on camera, they weren't. But then when you show them, so ultimately we like to have that the ball position about a club head width from your left heel. There's a little bit of give and take there, but roughly 3 inches the club head width from your left heel or from your forward heel, you know, if you're a right-handed player, but from your front foot, 3 inches from that left, from the heel. And that way, whether you're hitting a 9-iron or a 3-hybrid, that ball is in the same position relative to your left side. Ultimately, I keep saying left side, so forgive me, all the left-handed golfers out there. But your left side, ultimately, in the golf swing, most of your weight is on your left leg at impact or on your forward leg at impact. So we want that ball position to be in the same position relative. That way, it's much easier for your brain and your body to get that club head to the ball in the same spot.
Perfect. This is Jason Dygert. He is the Director of Instruction at Golf Tech. And you can reach him. We're going to have an EWGA event tonight at Golf Tech. I'm so excited. I'm going to be sharing all of this. Our EWGA is the Executive Women's Golf Association, and we have a small chapter in Hawaii. It's women who love to get together and play golf. We've never met. Susan's going to be there. I just met her once at Ted Makalena, and she's coming down. She's going to have a swing analysis, or a swing evaluation, mini swing evaluation. We're going to have some poo-poos. We're going to have, you know, I don't drink, but whatever. nobody's going to leave impaired because we'll drive them home if necessary, but we're going to have some fun from 5 until 8 o'clock. It's going to be fun. You do that too, right? This isn't something out of the normal. You have little parties.
We do, yeah, for companies and groups that want to come in and have a couple hours of some golf instruction, you know, kind of find out a little bit about, you know, what Golf Tech does to help people play better golf. It's a good social time for people just to get out of the office or whatever they're doing and get down and have some fun with looking at their golf swing, learning a little bit about their golf swing, and then we'll finish it off with a closest to the pin contest using our launch monitor, and everybody gets around, and sure, there's probably some heckling, but it's just fun to
there will be no heckling.
It's a fun event, and everybody will get a little good stuff for their golf swing out of it, and we'll have some fun in the process.
Jason Dygert, Director of Instruction, Golf Tech. What's your phone number?
Our number at Golf, 441-0105. We are open every day of the week from 9 a.m., weekdays, I'm sorry, 9 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m.
But you're open every day, see? So you can find a spot that works for you. I'll be seeing you soon, and we'll be back updating everybody on my progress. How am I doing?
I think you're doing great, Danielle.
Yay!
And you know what was funny, and I just wanted to mention this really quick, but once you kind of get the grip on there, a lot of people, when they look at their golf swing, they're seeing the left elbow bending so much. Why is my left elbow bending so much at the top? Well, generally, it's because you're not gripping the club and you're not able to hinge it correctly, so you end up doing that with your elbow, which is an extra lever that you don't want in your golf swing. But in the process of doing this, right, I'm looking at your full swing, and you turn, right? You turn your hips and shoulders wonderfully in the golf swing, right? You make a nice full turn and back and through, and that's why I was, you know, kind of certainly aware of that with the back issues that you've had, and we haven't even really discussed it, but I've been looking at it, and you turn very well, so we're going to get the primary lever and the secondary lever working great in your golf swing, and you will reap the benefits.
See, I feel so positive right now. I've forgotten anything negative, and I'm feeling all good. Jason Dygert is Director of Instruction at Golf Tech. His number is 441-0105, 808. 441-0105. We're going to come back. We're going to be talking some first tee right after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to The Golf Club.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422 for your group.
Hoipu Bay on Kauai's South Shore. Come share our home where the Grand Slam was played. Robert Trent Jones Jr. saw the mountains and felt the sea. Sure, great vistas and greens most people only dream of. Take the day off or do business with a bunch of your best customers. Come join the fun and the aloha at Poipu Bay. Call us for your tee time, where great golf is played every day at Poipu Bay.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
Teed up the ball, feet grounded, taking a deep breath, rip it and rip it. Did I do that? Oh, man. Now back to Danielle Tucker.
And welcome into the clubhouse now. Hugh Smith is the first tee director of regional affairs, Pacific region. And we have Kellen Anderson. He is all of a sudden the name of your organization just left my brain. Kellen, welcome to the show, Hawaii Youth Golf Association.
Good morning, Daniel. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Hi, Mr. Smith. May I call you Hugh?
Oh, yes, please. Good morning. Thank you for having us on your show.
Absolutely. Welcome. It's good to have you. We're talking about the restructuring of First Tee, and there's a huge fundraiser. It's going to be a whole lot of fun over at Hawakale this evening, where people who have come out to support First Tee have purchased tables. It's a wine tasting, heavy poo-poos, and a whole lot of fun. First off, Kellen, tell us a little bit about this evening.
Sure. Yeah, we did it to try and raise some funds for the relaunching of the First Tee here in Hawaii. We have over 250 attendees tonight over at Hawakale. The event is sold out, so there are no more tickets to be sold, but it should be a great evening, live music, lots of raffle prizes, silent auction items, and some awesome live auction items as well.
Well, we need to hear about what it's all about so people know for next year, because you have these events to raise funds on a fairly regular basis. I remember the one that I was at Hawakale. It was a whole lot of fun.
Sure, yeah. We try and do four fundraisers throughout the year every quarter to try and generate funds for the program here in Hawaii. So this is another one, and we'll probably start planning the next one, which will probably be in March of 2017.
There you go. It's the Hawaii Youth Golf Association and the First Tee of Hawaii exclusive tasting event. People may be saying, but there is a First Tee of Hawaii already. But it's going through some changes, and now you have a letter of intent from the First Tee, the mainland chapter, or office, I should say. It's the founding. Shep Spink was on my show in 1999. Hugh Smith, oh, do you know Shep?
I don't. I know the name, but I haven't met him, no.
Yes, a retired military man, came out to try to help put together First Tee back way back when. It was first starting in Washington. And now, where are you located? Where did you fly from?
So I'm based out of Phoenix, Arizona, and I was the previous executive director of the First Tee of Phoenix.
Excellent.
So,
but originally from Northern California, from the Bay Area.
So how much money is needed to be raised to get a first tee chapter here in Hawaii?
So each chapter of the first tee is separate from one another. Every first tee chapter is an independent 501c3 organization. So they have their own board of directors, their own budget, their own structure, bylaws, you know, and the main focus is to provide the first tee program in their communities in what we call a service area to benefit those communities. And so with each chapter being different and independent from one another, the budgets range everything from a couple hundred thousand dollars up into millions of dollars.
Well, yes.
So it really gets into, you know, the community need and what the focus of that organization is to have a greater impact through the game of golf.
Yeah, well, community need and community resources, because
correct.
So many of our corporations that do business in Hawaii are international or from other places where they call home. So they would be donating to an event in Phoenix or wherever their corporate headquarters are, and they may not feel compelled to make those donations when they're doing business here in Hawaii. So we have different kinds of challenges, including that part of it, and the fact that there are so many different islands and traveling within the islands is difficult. So Kellen Anderson wants to have the first tee would be the entire state or Oahu?
So right now, as we are working to bring the first tee back here to Hawaii, we are looking to reemerge the first tee, kind of a smaller focus to get started. And then over time, we will plan to grow to all the islands. So I think right now our major focus is Oahu. The LOI is in its process. It has not been granted yet. But it's in the process of being reviewed. And when the LOI has been approved, then the organization here, will be fully focused on fundraising, and generating the needed resources to launch the first tee. The interesting thing about the first tee, as compared to other youth-serving organizations, say like a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA, each First Tee chapter is independent on its own. They raise their own dollars locally. None of those dollars go to the First Tee National Office, which is based in Florida. And my role as a regional affairs director is to support those chapters and helping them maximize, their potential.
So when my grandson was involved in the first tee, he got a t-shirt and he got a booklet with life mm-hmm. skills, because, one of the beauties of the first tee is mm-hmm. not only is it a group lesson environment where the kids get to meet other children who are interested in playing golf, or their parents want them to be interested in playing golf, and so they get to find other kids that are in the same situation. And then they learn to love the game, but they also learn things like honesty, integrity, taking care of one another, safety, taking care of the golf course, all of those skills in those booklets. Is that what they're raising money for? What is the money needed for?
So, it's interesting. When you look at the landscape, throughout the country, funds going to schools are being cut for PE classes, for after-school programs, and the community need is increasing more and more. The millions of young people who are unsupervised, through the hours of 3 to 6 o'clock, in after-school hours is increasing. The focus on test scores is increasing. And so organizations like the First Tee are having a great impact during the school day, in the PE classes, and the after-school hours with these allied organizations like the Boys and Girls Clubs, YMCA, and then at facilities, golf courses around the country. And so the funds that are being raised are to maximize that impact in all three of those areas, in the school areas, working with the school administrators, the PE teachers, giving them the resources that they can use to teach golf like they do soccer, football, volleyball, any other sport in the after-school space, and then at facilities, complementing existing programs that they currently do or implementing the First Tee program there. So these resources that are raised through events like the one this evening at Huakalei,
right.
100% of those are going to focus on re-emerging the first tee here in Hawaii, and support those young people, you know, like your family who was involved in the first tee.
So, and every family pays the $75 or whatever the amount's going to be for the 10 weeks. So it's not a free thing for participants.
Right. And each chapter is a little bit different. So these might be somewhat, you know, they may vary throughout the country, but generally, yes, there is a fee to be involved in the program. And those dollars, you know, go towards instruction, access, you know, sometimes even equipment, ongoing activities in the program, and scholarships are always available. You know, we never want, from a home office perspective, we never want to ever turn away a young person. You know, you'd be surprised at, you know, the impact that the first tee organization is having around the country by introducing, you know, the game of golf to young people who would never have the opportunity otherwise. You know, these are young people who've never been on a golf course. You know, a golf course may be in their community, and for whatever reason, they may think, oh, I don't have the skills to go there, or maybe I would be embarrassed if I went there. I wouldn't have the confidence to go there. And through the first tee, you know, we're being inclusive. We're showing that these young people, you know, Kellen and I were having meetings earlier this week, and, you know, I was sharing that you never know, that like the next Tony Finau could be out here in the island somewhere, you know, a young person who does not know they have the skills, you know, to not only enjoy the game, but maybe even play competitively. And how great of a story is that? And you can, you know, take a young person and give them the support through the first tee to help them excel in life.
It's wonderful. I'm just a real quick second here. KPUA Hilo, KGU FM Honolulu, KGU AM Honolulu, KONI Lanai City, KTOH Kalaheo. So, to recap, the letter of intent is being reviewed right now, and money is being raised already to go toward the, I'm not, since the first tee doesn't really exist yet. The money raised tonight, Kellen, is for your organization to have money to pursue getting the first tee here. Is that correct? Do I have that right?
Yes. And you do have that correct. So the LOI, which is the letter of intent to implement a first tee chapter, there's an application process. And so that application is currently being reviewed, and the outcome of that review will be an LOI to bring the first tee back here. And so what that then will allow the group here is to begin training their people here to become the first tee coaches. That will allow them to begin offering like the school-based programs. You know, we have a program called the First Tee National Schools Program where that takes place in the schools during the school day where we're training PE teachers. And then in the after-school space called our DRIVE program where if you take a partner like a Boys and Girls Club or a YMCA or even Salvation Army like the Cross Center that's here in the community,
yeah.
You know, you could train an administrator there and then they don't even have to be a golfer. It's whoever would normally deliver sports activities and then we would train them, give them the necessary equipment and curriculum to reference for lesson plan ideas. And so when the LOI is approved, then we will begin initiating those activities. And the dollars raised are because we've realized from a national perspective that when a chapter is beginning to emerge, you know, in their communities, if they have, you know, a portion of their resources already raised on hand, it definitely makes them more successful. They have those dollars to pay, you know, a full-time executive director. They have the resources to pay a full-time program director and other coaches. And so when those resources are already on hand, they're much more successful than starting with limited resources. So these dollars are going towards, you know, when we relaunch the chapter here, they'll be ready. You know, they'll be ready to start and hit the ground running with running, you know, positive impact programs.
Good. Now what you just said is what I needed to hear. What you're doing is you're creating the money pot that will then, it's a full-time job. this
You're
is,
right.
You know, the executive director of the First Tee Hawaii is going to be working nonstop, not playing much golf, mind you, working nonstop to make sure that everything is done to get the First Tee impact felt in the most communities, so the most children possible can be touched and who'd like to learn about golf, because it can be very intimidating for a child not knowing how to act on a golf course.
You're exactly right. And of all the expectations that we have on the local chapters, the top two, you know, if you were to rank them, it's tough because they're all important. You want every chapter to be successful. But two of the expectations, two of many that we have, is to have a full-time executive director and a full-time program director. And you're 100% right. You need, those, at least those two key staff people. And some chapters have, you know, my chapter in Phoenix, I had 14 staff people that worked for me at the First Tee of Phoenix. We were impacting over 100,000 young people in Maricopa County through the First Tee of Phoenix.
That's huge.
And so when you look at those demographics, you know, and you think about what do we need to be successful, you need people who are paid and fully committed and have a full-time focus, you know, on their First Tee brand in their community. And so you're right. I mean, these funds that are being raised are 100% are going towards the staffing, which also includes the coaches, too. You know, we want people who are, who are trained, certified, and can deliver the First Tee program, you know, in the community. So that's what we're really excited about. You know, we have a group here that is very excited about bringing the First Tee back. And then my role is to help facilitate that process. So I'm looking forward to the next time when I'm on the show here, that we'll be talking about a ribbon cutting ceremony. We'll be talking about a celebration bringing the First Tee back. So that is very important to us.
Fantastic. I'm looking forward to talking with you again. But let me ask you one final question. There's the sure. the board of directors. What does the board do?
So, you know, each chapter, has a board of directors that oversees the organization. So their role, you know, they have the fiduciary responsibility of governing the organization. So just like any nonprofit organization, they are more or less recruited from the community. Each chapter has a cultivation plan to identify potential board members. And their role is to not only serve as an ambassador for the organization, but also to assist with fundraising. And so, you know, chapters or nonprofits in general who have good governance are definitely more successful. And so, you know, a lot of focus is on the boardroom. For chapters of the First Tee, the size of the board varies. You have some that are as small as 9 up to 25 plus.
Wow.
People from the community. That just really depends on the organization, how large their service area is, how large their focus is, how large their budget is. And so each of these people generally will be responsible for a committee. It could be a fundraising committee, programs committee, governance committee, kind of down the line, marketing committee. And so their focus is to help, you know, that First Tee organization be successful. More times than not, their primary focus is really fundraising and being that ambassador for the organization. So that is the group that is tasked with, you know, overseeing the operations. That's the group that I generally work with the most to make sure that they're all engaged, they all understand, you know, the purpose of their First Tee chapter, and then to assist them. And so many times they're community leaders, they're people who want to get back to the areas in which they live, and they're, you know, fully committed, you know, to the First Tee.
Hugh Smith, the First Tee Director of Regional Affairs, Pacific Region, thanks so much for being on the show. And Kellen, I hardly heard anything from you. Are you still there?
I'm still here, but I love hearing Hugh.
Sorry, Kellen, sorry.
It's okay. No. It's all right. You did a great job. You're going to be busy tonight. And thank you so much for being on the show.
Awesome. So happy to be on it. Thank you again.
Thank you. Aloha. We're going to come back and we're going to focus on fitness right after this with Bob Foreman. He's Fitness and Wellness Director at Congressional Country Club. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Have you ever seen a building or a magazine photo or traveled to a place that captured your imagination? Futura Stone's Master Craftsman can transform your vision into a reality. Does your project call out for a permeable pavement, parking area, pool deck, plaza, or grand entry? Bring us your plans. Futura Stone's unique outdoor products and services can turn your resort, building, or home's exterior into an oasis that will last a lifetime. Call Futura Stone, 841-7440 across Hawaii. Futura Stone, only the best.
We're busier than ever, and some things can just wait. Washing the car, painting the study, or cleaning the screens. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your restaurant's water line broke at 10 a.m. or your building's hot water heater blew up at midnight. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or high-rise, retail store, or home. You need your job done now, done right. Your 50-foot sewer pipe won't fix itself. That's Creative Plumbing!
841-2837.
Your experts on call. Work the ball, play more break, be aggressive. Wow! 6 feet past the cup. What was I thinking? Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
And welcome back in the clubhouse. At Volcano, there's a 1040. It was 56 chilly degrees this morning. Makalei has a 1010, 1124. Poipu has a 1020 and 1130. And get this, they've got some Titleist drivers and rescue clubs, hybrids, Titleist for 60% off. You may want to go to the pro shop and check that out. Makaha East has a 9 to 10:30. Oh, they're open between 9 and 10:30. Give them, oh, they're open all day, but they have some tea times open then. And Olomana, 10 to 2:30. So much fun at Olomana. Don't, you know, go Olomana. And Wailea, the gold course, has a 9:26 and a 10:38. And Ka'anapali has a 10:44 and a 12:44. Now, let's get to wellness and fitness. The fitness and wellness director, this is Congressional Country Club, Bob Foreman. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Danielle. It's good to be here.
Good. You know, I've heard of Golf Fit. Have you been on the, you've been on the show before, haven't you?
I have, yes.
Yes.
It's about a year or so ago.
Exactly. And we talked about your company, Golf Fit. Now, when did you, now, Congressional Country Club has such an amazing history. I mean, at one point, the government leased Congressional Country Club. And the government used Congressional Country Club, I think it was, you know, 1944, 1945, duh,
yep.
For training espionage, sabotage, and parachuting and what have you. So the idea was born to have a Congressional Country Club for Congress members to meet up with local business members of the community and get together. And here we are. This must be really a beautiful place to work.
Oh, it really is. I tell you, it's exciting. As you said, there's a storied history behind it. And when you walk down History Hall, you see the pictures of the five presidents that were responsible for building the club. It's, the grounds are beautiful. The clubs are beautiful. It's a great place to be.
Yeah. And you got to tell me, when you say, I understand director of fitness, wellness, that's interesting. Tell us about how that title works together.
Well, private clubs are starting to expand their fitness offerings and including more than just personal training and group exercise class instruction. They want to get more into the wellness aspect. So, you know, they want to retain their members, their current members. They want to attract new members. And so it's actually one of the fastest growing segments in the private club industry. The whole wellness aspect. So we're doing things like including a lot of education as to what exercise can do as it relates to cancer, diabetes, and all that kind of stuff. You know, so we go well beyond golf fitness, tennis fitness. We do nutrition now. We've got low back programs. We do a Tai Chi class to incorporate some mind-spirit dimensions. So, yeah, it's definitely a growing industry.
What was the tipping point that got us to finally get that all of these things are important for our bodies, our minds, our spirit, our lifestyle?
Well, I think we're still working on it.
But it's growing. It's not,
oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So I just find it interesting. We've known this for, you know, hundreds of years, maybe not, but we've known it for at least a couple of decades.
Yeah.
That you put in your body is what you're going to create for your body, you know. So it's just interesting. And let's take up something that you wrote about, and I immediately latched onto it because I know golfer's elbow, two of the more common causes. We're going to take a real quick break. And I want to also talk with you about something else you wrote, maintaining your swing width for greater distance. Both of those things, I think, will help the guys and the gals heading to the golf course right about now. And that golfer's elbow is one of the biggest problems. We'll be back after this. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is The Golf Club.
Stay tuned. We'll be hitting the greens with Danielle Tucker when we return to the Golf Club.
Strong, quiet, dependable, reliable. Sounds like a great husband for my daughter, but really, it's your new Rainer garage door. Your home deserves the beauty and dependability that only Rainer can give. Call us today at 676-3667. Ask about our fall special and save money as you improve your home. That's Rainer Hawaii, 676-D-O-O-R.
There's nothing like a good round of golf. Want to have more fun and play better? Golf easier with the coaching of master PGA teaching professional Claude Brousseau. Claude will simplify your game, scratch golfer or just beginner. As a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, now with the Ko'olina Golf Academy, you will get great results and improve. Call Claude at 808-870-1422 or email him at claudeforbestgolf@gmail.com. That's Claude Brousseau at 808-870-1422. Have more fun and stop buying lunches for your group.
As we jet from place to place, we buckle in knowing they maintain their planes daily. They don't put off repairs till the next month. Your plumbing can't wait. It doesn't matter if your water line, sewer line, or fire line broke at the worst possible moment. Call Creative Plumbing at 841-2837 across Hawaii. Big business or commercial center, high-rise, townhouse, or hen house. You need your job done now. Done right. That's Creative Plumbing!
Your experts on call.
It's the Golf Club. Visit our website at www.radiogolfclub.com. You can hear previous archived shows. Just hit the listen button and pick the show you want to hear. Email Danielle with your thoughts and requests. Contact us about advertising and check out our sponsor links. That's www.radiogolfclub.com. Now, back to Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club.
We're talking with Bob Foreman. He holds a Master of Science degree in exercise physiology, is certified as a golf fitness instructor through the Titleist Performance Institute, TPI, many times a guest on the show, Jason Glass, holds a certification in applied functional science from the Gray Institute, and is a certified personal trainer through the American College of Sports Medicine. Bob, you've got to tell us about two of the more common causes of golfer's elbow so we know what not to do.
Well, one of the biggest issues that I run into quite a bit with a lot of golfers is lack of mobility in the shoulder, and specifically looking at external shoulder rotation. So being able to bend your forearm backwards when you have your arm up at a 90-degree angle. Now, what that does is if you don't have that mobility, it puts a lot of pressure on the elbow joint as well as the wrist. So you got to keep in mind that a lot of times the point of pain is not the cause of pain. So when you're looking at elbow discomfort, you look at shoulder mobility, and that's a big common deficiency in a lot of golfers.
How do we increase our mobility?
Well, there's a good stretch you can do called the open book, where you lie in the fetal position on the floor on your side, and you have everything bent at 90 degrees. Your hips are at 90, your knees are at 90, your shoulders and your elbows are at 90 degrees, and you take your top arm and you maintain the angle in the elbow and you bring it across your body to the opposite side until you feel a gentle stretch, and then just like gravity kind of stretch you out.
Wow.
That's one of the best stretches for golf, and I've seen a lot of golfers get 5 to 10 more yards down the fairway just by increasing that range of motion.
Excellent. What is the other cause?
Well, the other cause, and a lot of golfers we see too, and many of us are walking around with this deficiency. We tend to be stronger in our flexor muscles on the underside of our forearm, and we don't have that type of strength on the extensors on the top side of the forearm. So that imbalance, again, can lead to issues with the wrist, the elbow, and the forearm. And because golf is a gripping-type activity, that you're cocking your wrist, you're abducting the wrist and adducting the wrist, it just puts more strain on the elbow. So a great exercise to do is just a simple rubber band exercise that you put an elastic rubber band around the first knuckles of each hand. So you put your fingers together, mm-hmm. and you wrap a rubber band around the first knuckle, and then you open the fingers and close the fingers. Open and close about 20 to 25 times, and that works those extensor muscles on top of the forearm.
They're working and, right now. That's amazing.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's amazing what a little bit of exercise like that will do.
And that'll help my elbow.
Exactly.
So, and what you said is really key. I mean, if where it hurts isn't necessarily where the problem is. I might have a pain in the, on the top of my foot, but it's really something coming from my back.
Right. Yeah, you see that a lot, you know, where, you know, that typical sciatica-type pain that people experience. Well, in some cases, if you have that nerve impingement in your lower back, you may not get that sciatica pain. Instead, you may get numbness in your foot or a pins and needle-type feeling in your foot or weakness in the affected leg. So, yeah, I mean, that's why when you go to the doctor with those type of symptoms, he'll look at or she'll look at that lower back area.
Yeah, and you're going, hey, it's my foot. No, it's not.
Right.
I know, for maintaining the swing width, for everybody yeah. wants greater distance, you know, and I don't necessarily need to go, you know, anything further than something that would make you just a little bit happier. I don't have to just slam it down to the hole. I just want to know, you know, go somewhere. So anything distance is always appreciated. What do you mean by maintain the swing width?
Yeah, well, nobody wants to hit first from the fairway, that's for sure. So swing width is making, and sometimes when you watch the golf on TV, you'll hear the announcer say he has good extension in his backswing. And basically that means that he's really getting that club, he's reaching back with that club as he's bringing the club back into the backswing. I mean, any monthly journal that you pick up, there's going to be an article about a good shoulder turn, and that good extension is a part of that good shoulder turn. I'm telling you, it's an easy way to get an additional 10 to 15 yards. It's just making that big backswing. Now, unfortunately, a lot of people cut that backswing short. They bend their elbow, so they shorten the arc in the backswing, and when you shorten the arc, you're not going to be able to generate as much club head speed on the downswing. And they do that for several reasons. Number one is a lot of times they'll have a tightness in their mid-back, in their thoracic area, and that's another common deficiency we run into quite a bit. And so what happens is it limits the range of motion, but they really want to get that good shoulder turn that they're reading about, so they really try to get the club back further, and unfortunately a lot of times they'll bend the elbow without realizing. The other thing is tricep strength, you know, the muscles in the back of the upper arm. If you lack that, you can't hold that straight left arm if you're a right-handed golfer as you're bringing the club back, and that therefore the arm will bend and shorten that arc. So tricep strength is good to work on. Mid-back mobility, flexibility is good to work on to help with that extension, that width in your golf swing.
So that stretch you told us about earlier that I want to do right now on the floor because it feels in my mind so good, will that help with that shoulder turn you're talking about?
It could, because it does open up the chest as well. But another good stretch for the mid-back is a stretch called a reach-through, where basically you're on your hands and knees, you're on all fours, you're keeping your left elbow nice and straight, and you're going to take your right arm and kind of reach through the opening between the hand and the left hand and the left knee till you feel a gentle stretch. So you're rotating the upper body towards the left until you feel a nice gentle stretch in the mid back area, and just holding that for about 15 to 20 seconds. And then repeating to the other side, keeping the right elbow locked and reaching the left hand through that opening till you feel a gentle stretch. And what you want to look for is asymmetry. You want to make sure that you're feeling, the same stretch on each side, because a lot of people will be tighter on one side and they'll notice that right off the bat that, I'm much tighter on the right or I'm much tighter on the left. And if you do have that, you want to do an extra stretch or two to that tight side so that you get balance back into the body.
Wow. Now, do these stretches strengthen me?
No. You need to have flexibility. You need to have mobility to get power. So, yes and no. It won't strengthen muscle, but it will give you more power because you'll have more range of motion.
Yeah, and then it'll be, from there you can strengthen. You need to be stretched out to strengthen?
Yeah, you really should. And the other way around, too. You know, a lot of people hit the gym and they hit the weights. And when you strengthen a muscle, you tighten the muscle. So it's important that if you do strength exercises, that you stretch, because otherwise you'll just get tighter and tighter. And that's why for years people were fearful to go to the gym and lift weights, because they were fearful it's going to ruin their golf swing. Well, if they didn't stretch, yeah, it did ruin their golf swing because it tightens you right up.
This is Bob Foreman, Director of Fitness and Wellness at Congressional Country Club. Doesn't he explain things really cool? you have a really good way of explaining how to do something, and it makes it very visual. I'd love to have you back on the show. You said we could talk for about 20 minutes just on swing mechanics and injury potential and the common physical deficiencies in golfers. So I have to schedule a whole lot more time with you, don't I, Bob?
Yeah, definitely. But send people to my website. There's a lot of information there that they can use.
What is your website?
It's golffitcarolina.com. One F, one T.
G-O-L-F-I-T.
Yeah, carolina.com.
GolfFitCarolina.com. I'm going to use this on SoundCloud and share it on Twitter and Facebook, this segment that we just did. That was really good. Lots of great information. Thanks so much for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Aloha. I want to thank the people who make this show possible. Rainer Doors, the overhead door used to protect the Lamborghini showroom, providing lasting security and safety for your business. Rainer Doors, and don't you love the commercial? The way he talks about Rainer Doors and how good they are? I just love it, because then he says, that sounds like a good boyfriend for my daughter. Well, Rainer Doors, providing lasting security and safety for your business. Claude Brousseau, Master PGA Professional, a two-time Aloha Section PGA Teacher of the Year, 54, that is Vision 54, coach, and Aimpoint certified. You need a lesson with Claude Brousseau. He's at Ko'olina. You can reach him at Claude, C-L-A-U-D-E, 4, the number 4. bestgolf@gmail.com. Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, 18 championship holes, the host of the PGA of America Grand Slam of Golf for over 10 years. It's an outstanding golf course, and a golfer of all abilities. I mean, just, you know, tee it forward. That's all. You don't have to plant from the black. You don't want to be back there, okay? The Poi Poo Bay Golf Course, Kauai's South Shore gem, where they have some Titleist drivers and some hybrids at 60% off. So go over to the clubhouse and check out Poi Poo Bay Golf Course. That is Kauai's South Shore gem. Futurastone. Futurastone's master craftsmen can turn your whatever you're building into artwork. Okay, I was just looking at some of the interlocking concrete pavers. I talk about them all the time, right? Well, Futurestone also has AquaPave for Hawaii. Parking lots, commercial entrances, residential driveways, sidewalks, pools, plaza, AquaPave. It's environmentally friendly. It lasts 40 years. And Creative Plumbing, whether you're a building, a shopping center, a store, a custom home, or a townhouse, Creative Plumbing is for you. It's got to be done right, and they are Creative Plumbing. And if you're renovating something that's over 40 years old, you'd be surprised at the condition of those pipes. Call Creative Plumbing. Thank you for your mana. May you hit the sweet spot every time. My name's Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
You've been listening to the award-winning Golf Club Radio Show with Danielle Tucker on the Golf Club Network statewide. Tune in next week, and we'll tee it up together only on the Golf Club.
Copyright 2016.